Baruch is an electronic toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Baruch redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist. A fresh, whole mouth clean every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with code POD15. Follow the link in the show notes and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome to Season 3, Episode 19 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix Preview. You've got Andy, and we have podcast at full strength tonight. We have John, we have James, and we have Deanna. Folks, how are we doing this lovely Wednesday evening?
Chicago Cubs are in first place, so I'm in an awesome mood. Thanks for asking.
So are the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, it's good.
At least for this week.
I've personally had the worst day of my entire life.
What? That, oh, no.
That is very hard to believe.
You like severed a finger like 2 weeks ago. So, what could be worse than that?
Worse than the scooter incident and the avocado incident and that one time I broke my thumb when I fell off a stool. Coach K is retiring.
There's clearly a backstory on that. Oh, stop that. It.
And I'm distraught. I don't know what to do with myself. My whole reality has been shattered and... it's been horrible. It's been a horrible, horrible day.
And of course, he's got to announce it now so he gets an entire year of a goodbye.
I was going to say, you've got a whole year of a farewell tour.
I just thought he was going to do it forever.
A real professional does it correctly, like Roy Williams.
Shire's taking over. They didn't have that over at Carolina. I don't know what's going on over there. So I just think long term, Duke will be the better for it. So stop complaining.
I actually hate John Shire. He knocked out my high school when he was a junior out of the state playoffs, that piece of shit.
In my very brief time in the service industry, I sat him at a table once. Nice guy.
When you say very brief, are we talking hours, days?
It was more than a few days.
Very good. I think they should make Coach K.
She didn't say a week, so we know it's on less than seven.
I think they should make Coach K go the whole season without using hair dye. That would be interesting.
Let's move on.
Yeah, I was going to say, for those of you in Europe who are wondering what the heck are we talking about, that's college basketball. So anyway, we'll just leave that there. You can find this show on Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Discord at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can find our beautiful website, www.outlapf1.com, where you'll find all about us and what we're into and what we like. Also, a reminder, Relapped with Deanna is up to the 1981 Monaco Grand Prix, correct? I think she's done with Monaco now.
Yes, I'm very, very done with Monaco. So happy about it.
She doesn't want to see that swimming pool ever again.
At least 81 was a little bit more entertaining than 2021.
And at least I know I have something to look forward to, the 82 one, which I'll hopefully get to before the 22 Monaco Grand Prix should be a pretty good one. So,
yep, just check that out on YouTube. It's awesome. We would hope that you do check that out. As a reminder, we do have our episode, season 3, episode 6. That's F1 for Beginners. If anything that we're talking about has you a little confused, we take you soup to nuts, back to front, everything about the sport we love and love to talk about, and that is Formula One. Also, just remember, you can also support our show via our Anchor app. $1, $5, 10 cents, whatever you'd like to do. That would be awesome. Please check out the link in our show notes when we post it. And as a reminder, please do take advantage while we have it for the 20% off and free shipping with the good folks at Manscaped. So we really do encourage everyone to get on that while we are able to bring that to you. And we are always proud to bring that to you. So we had no F1 race last week, but we did have probably the biggest race, some people would say, on the planet. That would be the Indy 500. That would also be the first time that we had a significant amount of fans. There were 150,000 or 145,000 fans in the stands. So that was really good to see. John, take us a little bit through what you thought of the Indy 500.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that they said it was the largest sporting event as far as fan attendance goes.
For a single day.
Okay, gotcha. Which I didn't realize, but that's pretty cool. You know, 150,000 now has got to feel like 500,000 just with everything going on. So it was phenomenal to see fans in the stands, hopefully vaccinated fans. But, you know, the racing I thought was a lot better than I honestly thought it was going to be. You know, we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago that the aero screen has not been great for speedway package, low downforce package, but it wasn't the best of races I've ever seen, but it definitely was entertaining. You know, heartbreak for Dixon and my boy Rossi.
Kind of getting,
you know, bad luck as far as when the caution flew early on. It was kind of a recovery day. Dixon actually had a hell of a recovery day, kind of timed the next caution just right and was able to maintain. Rossi, not so much. But, you know, to have two guys, you know, Dixon definitely a favorite. Rossi can always be one. You know, he's always someone you got to keep in mind, at least, even though he's struggling this year. But to have both those guys go out early in the race was sad. But I mean, we had a hell of a good ending. The racing was phenomenal there at the end of the race. And thank God for aero screens. Even though a tire didn't actually hit it, that was painfully close to being a very, very bad day for the Indy 500. So all in all, good day.
Yeah. You know, John, you were kind of getting me set up for just a procession race, so I wasn't expecting much going into it, but I was pleasantly surprised. I think, Andy, I texted you from laps like 10 to 35-ish. It got kind of like not so great, and I was like, maybe I should just fast forward because I watched it later without seeing the result. But then after that, when strategy started opening up, I was really, really into it, way more than I've ever been before with an Indy 500 for sure. Following Pato O'Ward the whole way through was awesome. I thought he had a really good race. I think maybe his car wasn't really set up to be in the lead because a couple times he got passed not too long after. But all three, four guys at the front really had a really good race. And to see Helio win and climb that fence at the end was pretty awesome scene and shows he still belongs out there, at least on that track.
Yeah, I think it was pretty exciting to me. I also had the most well-executed nap of all time. I fell asleep right after all of the first pit stop drama and woke back up to Ray Hall's wheel falling off. So
that was crazy.
Perfectly executed. So overall, very exciting race to me. But I think, yeah, at the end, the celebration, it's just one of those reasons that, like, why we love fans at sports, just sports in general. It was a great moment. I was sitting smiling like an idiot on my couch. So I thoroughly enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, I will confess, Lee Diffie got to me when he said that the soul is back at the Speedway. It was just as the cars were coming in, and then, you know, about 2 seconds later, I had to kind of snap out of it and go, okay, hey, you have a race to actually follow here, you know, get with it. But yeah, it was, I to your point, John, I thought it was better racing than I had expected. I was shocked at how well behaved most of the field was. I mean, you had 31 of the 33 drivers finish, and I don't know if you've ever had that. You had basically really the two caution flags. So it's the fastest 500 in history. And you got what you needed at the end. You want to get to the last 20 laps and you want to have your kind of decanting of, okay, top three, top four. Ed Carpenter at the end comes in and really makes it a top five. And they were just going at it. And you, great move by Castroneves to go around the outside of Alex Palou there at the end. Super popular win. I mean, my gosh. I mean, talk about a guy who, you know, you just kept saying, you know, I mean, he went to the IMSA series and he won that championship. He wins the 24 hours of Daytona and then comes here and wins again. So obviously old is still good, at least in terms of Indy cars, because that dude still got it.
Yeah, I mean, any of the top four or five drivers there, you know, we talked, you said Castroneves, Palou, Pagano, Ward, Carpenter. I mean, any of those guys are going to be fan favorites, I think. I mean, it would have been a great story, but yeah, having Helio up there, I mean, that's it just made for a fun day. Indy 500, you know, it's one of those races where nobody really wants to lead until the very last. You know, if it's, it's very similar to, you know, restrictor plate racing at, you know, Daytona, Talladega for our NASCAR guys out there. But, you know, it's such a fuel mileage race that, you know, you definitely don't want to be the guy towing everybody around. But, you know, we talked about what race was it that – was it Spain where we had some weaving –
Yeah.
Black and yeah. 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 We talked about it during that race, during that review of the Spanish GP, and just, to see 33 cars just snaking up and down the backstretch, you know, every single lap. I enjoyed it. I think it's fun. It, Andy, you said a couple weeks ago, Monaco felt like normal life again, even though we bitched and moaned about it. And it was nice to have the Indy 500 back on Memorial Day weekend where it belongs. So that was definitely a cool experience to have for sure.
Yeah, and it was actually, I think the ratings came out. They said that like it was probably like the third or fourth highest rated Indy 500 ever. So, you know, put things back where they belong and people will watch.
I know NBC got a lot of stick for their ads, for the well, volume yeah. of ads. Welcome to the United States Motorsports Television, unfortunately, for yeah, all of your listeners.
That is NBCing it up.
That was my biggest complaint of the whole thing. It's like the commercials are just every like 10 minutes, it felt like. It's crazy. And they just picked terrible times to do it. It was awful.
See, Deanna and James are lucky because when they started their fandom, you guys were both on the ESPN era, right? When you guys started, yeah. Is that right?
Oh my God! So, yeah, do you remember the NBCSN?
Yeah,
four you guys laps missed into the a race, whole... they'd go to a commercial,
and not like a side by side, like no. You know, the race is still in the background. No, we're talking full on commercial. You come back six laps later, the leads change, somebody wrecked. We have no idea what's happened. It was miserable. Or they'd be going into like right at the pit stop sequence and yes. Oh, let's do a 5 minute commercial break here.
Right. Yeah. The whole race changes or it gets decided and you know, they come back and they do the long part about when it's all a procession and it's like, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. But, this is long before F1 TV and everything else. So we were stuck dealing with that drama and bullshit. So
I'm thankful Mother's Wax Polish or whatever it is that sponsors yes. the ESPN
yes.
one.
Yes, exactly. All hail. Like, I'm going to go out and buy me one right now just because of that.
Yeah, support Mother's Polish. They make a phenomenal product, and they keep uninterrupted Formula One racing in the United States, so we greatly thank them for that.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching kind of on a bit of an alternate stream. Actually, it was the Sky F1 feed. And they actually had a studio show every time they'd go to commercial. They had Natalie Pinkham, they had Lando Norris, and they had the Driver Academy guy for Carlin. So
during
they would
the 500? Kind
of, yeah, right in the middle. Every time when NBC would go to a break, they would kick it to them, and they would do some commentary, and then they would come back to the NBC guys when they would come back on. So unfortunately, it was about like two laps behind real time. But beyond that, it was worth it.
So I don't know what all our UK listeners are complaining about. Then. At least you guys yeah. got some entertainment. We had to see freaking Jack in the Box commercials or some garbage like that.
Or Jimmy Johnson and Carvana doing how many times?
Carvana commercials. Make it stop. I'm glad to see him bejeweling one more thing.
So right. Nowhere yeah. there's like an uninterrupted like indie. Race.
No, there's
you gotta go to the track.
Closest thing is you can have is, I thought it was the Sky coverage and that just had like I said alternate commentary when they would go to break. That was about the closest thing you could find.
Yeah, because even if you watch it on Peacock, I think you're still getting the same
correct
same feed, right? And it'll take you 25 minutes to find where in the six menus down deep to the link for the show or actually is. So it's not a pleasant experience.
And this is actually probably going to be the last year it's on NBC because I think the deal is up after this year, and NBC Sports Network going defunct at the end of this year, kind of the future of where we're going to watch this race is kind of up in the air. So who knows where we're going to find it.
And did you have to deal with you know, NASCAR crew chiefs and such on the Sky F1
yes,
as well.
They still had oh my God. The one guy on their NASCAR coverage that drives me crazy is Steve Letarte, and I don't know why the heck they decide to put him in on IndyCar. He has the most god awful annoying voice. It's just go away. Stop talking every time he talks.
The guy knows literally nothing about open wheel racing, I don't think. But he's an NBC guy now, so we gotta shove him on there.
Well, they gotta burn that contract up somehow, I suppose. Have them do something.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna leave that.
It was
there.
A fun race. Though.
It was a fun race. We were happy. Indy 500 back where it needs to be. Congratulations to Helio Castroneves on the win. So switching gears now to some F1 news, and we talked a little bit a few weeks ago about McLaren signing a young karting champion, and now Mercedes has followed suit and has signed 13-year-old Chinese Carter, and I'm going to butcher this name, so I apologize in advance, Yuanpu Kui, to its junior program. Any thoughts on this?
I think you did a great job with the name.
All right.
And that's all I have to add.
Complaints can be sent to the Gmail account.
Yeah, Andy at outlep1.com. Okay. Usually complaints are going to James's account, but
I think this is kind of interesting, I guess. I think Mercedes has done a good job with their drivers program because they keep it small and they have all of their drivers seem to be fairly spaced out. And so you're not getting like the Red Bull, they have a million drivers, or Alpine that and nothing to do with them. So it's fine, probably. And it's a long way away before you ever get to F1, but it would be good for the Chinese market, which I'm sure is good for Mercedes. And I read that he was born in 08 and that kind of made me want to die, but.
How do you think Andy feels? Jeez.
Yeah. It only gets worse.
We were talking before the show about, you know, in the American sports, how, you know, college recruits are showing up to middle school. I don't know what the UK calls middle school. You guys, one of you guys probably know.
11 to 13 years old, that age range.
Yeah, whatever that is in UK schooling terms. You know, college recruits showing up to their sporting events, you know, at that age. So, you know, it's happening across the board in kind of all forms of sports. But, I mean, Janet, you said it's a long time before, you know, he could be an F1. I mean, we've got, you know, 4 years from now, you know, it's
well, they can't do that with the Verstappen rule. They changed that. He can't.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
He's got to be at least 18 now. That's 5 years.
So 5 years. All right. So when Deanna's like 25, then he might not
be able to. Yep. Sure. 25 again. I think what the actual age will be.
For the fourth time. Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, I think that'll be the big 3-0.
Oh, good time. But yeah. It's a little silly. I mean, it'll be something else to kind of follow over the years. And, you know, best of luck to the kid.
Well, it's interesting. Is this now the new market? You know, we saw McLaren do it. Now Mercedes follows suit. Are we going to see, you know, Red Bull and Alpine sign, you know, other karting champions, which is, you know, it could be great. And there's a lot of untapped potential. And there's a lot of people who are great in karting who never made it to, you know, very far. So it's playing a lottery, but at least, you know, they bought a ticket.
Speaking of karting, we did get a pretty cool confirmation that someone who has an extensive karting background will be on the show in a couple of weeks. So a little teaser there. Looking forward to
good hint.
Yeah, we'll talk a little karting, yeah. Little racing. Yeah,
I did a little tweet with, you know, I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And I'll be on pain meds for the occasion.
Yeah, you especially, Deanna, are supposed to be on this, and she's going to be high as a kite.
It's going to be great.
It might be the last time this person comes on the show. Or they'll be so thoroughly entertained, they'll come back routine.
Or I was going to say, they might be so enthralled with it. That
Deanna's going, you know, to have surgery the day before this show, so.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah, to fix one of her many injuries. Oh, good time.
All right, so our next story is from racer.com. Formula One open to avoiding the Indy clash so its drivers can compete. Obviously, this is the first weekend in a long time where we didn't have Monaco and the Indy 500 on the same day. So thoughts on this? Is this a good thing?
Do we want to all have this argument again? after Monaco? I still think you shouldn't touch quali. I think if you put in that rule, nobody's going to go like balls to the walls in qualifying because they're going to be safe because of that risk or potential like penalty if they mess up the second lap. Like they're not. I don't think that they would risk it as much.
Wait, what are you talking about over there?
Wait, are we talking about the quali?
No, we're talking about the dates, the calendar.
I thought you were talking about
not
the quali
the red flag thing. No, okay, we did the red flag thing. Go back and listen.
I was not paying attention.
She got an early script, premeditated script.
Read Indy, and I thought we were doing avoiding Indy. Oh, clash. Oh, okay.
Oh, man. James read it wrong the first time. Yeah.
That's kind of what I got the first time I read it, too, to be
honest. Starting to wonder about the two.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay. Never mind.
Goodness. Yeah, now we're talking about dates clashing.
Let's not get John all riled up again.
We've fought enough about Monaco. Right?
Yeah, I thought we were doing this round, too. Okay. Sorry.
Oh, goodness. Let's reset.
Anyway, on the idea that Monaco and the Indy 500 are going to be on different dates, what do we think about that? Is that a good or a bad thing? John, let's start with you.
I think Deanna's embarrassed. We should edit all this out. Yeah, we should edit all this out, but, you know, James, Annie, and I have said enough dumb things in our careers in podcasting. It's time for her to have one. So... I think this is a phenomenal thing. I hope that, you know, easy fix is we just stop going to Monaco and we can make this happen, but we know that's never going to happen. But yes, I would you know, seeing Fernando Alonso obviously coming over you know, a couple of years ago was a big deal. Obviously much more success the first time around when he was you know, definitely had a car that could win that race before that lovely Honda motor reared its ugly head again and blew up. But I think this is phenomenal. I think it, especially if you're an Indy fan, I mean, having this is, you know, considered to be the greatest spectacle in racing. You know, I would argue that, you know, Le Mans is definitely up there and maybe some other things, but it's certainly, you know, in the very, very top echelon of motorsports events. I think the more superstars you can bring to the table, I think the better. So I would absolutely love to have a routine thing. You know, someone threw out there, we need to have, you know, the ability for other drivers to come off and come over and do Monaco. Obviously, that'll never happen because, you know, teams would never be allowed to produce more cars. But, you know, it would be maybe like an esports event or something like that. We have a Monaco esports where we get some IndyCar drivers or something like that come over and do a little competition. But no, I think it's a great idea. I hope it's something they can work out in the future.
I just don't see any F1 team allowing their drivers to go compete in Indy. So good for the fans. Well,
it is a big commitment. It is a month-long commitment. I mean, that's a valid point. Yeah.
From a safety perspective too, I don't think that any of those teams are going to let their drivers be on an oval.
I mean, coming up from the week that Lewis Hamilton did a 15,000-foot skydive, you know, between races, I don't know. He might be the only driver out there that in his contract has a big old FU to any safety restrictions because he kind of does whatever he wants. But yeah, I could definitely see most of these drivers being locked down. But who knows?
It's in Alonso's contract.
Alpine made sure that Alonso was not going to be able to do it specifically. Because
but obviously,
they didn't
like
want him
McLaren
to get hurt.
Is, you know, obviously heavily invested in IndyCar. I mean, could we see a Danny Ricciardo grew up watching American racing? Could we see, you know, a Danny Rick come over and make it? They obviously have the program in there. I know it's something he'd love to do
when he's Montoya's age.
I think it would have to be a situation where it was like an older driver that was on a team that wasn't gonna win or battle for the championship in F1 because they'd have to be there the weekend before too to qualify.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, it's in normal times, it's a month-long commitment. I mean, it's they call it the month of May for a reason. I mean, they've gotten better at it. They've kind of, you know, contracted it down to maybe four or five different practices before they go qualifying. I mean, it used to be literally you'd go out there every day and fine-tune something here or there. So, you know, unless you're going to have somebody else qualify the car and then you bring that F1 driver over to then just race – you know, and most European drivers are also kind of skittish about doing ovals. So, you know, I like the idea. I'm open to the idea. I would love to see more F1 talent come over. I would love to see, you know, kind of like it used to be back in the day, even have, God forbid, you make the Indy 500 part of the F1 championship again. But I think there's a lot of logistical and legal hurdles that they would have to clear before they could do it.
Maybe one day you'll have an American driver on the grid. And therefore, it'll be it'll be a logical thing to have an American who's not, you know, fearful of the ovals. Which I don't blame people for being fearful of the ovals. They don't exactly have the best reputation when it comes to Indy cars. So I don't fault them for that. But we'll see.
All right, moving on. So our next topic, F1 marshals. Who are they? What do they do? And do they get paid?
So I don't know if you guys an article. Yeah, from autosport.com. I thought it was kind of cool. It's something that doesn't really get talked about much, but it was kind of cool to see that pretty much anyone, if you're physically fit enough to perform the duties of a marshal, and there's obviously a variety of ones from, you know, flying a flag to picking up debris to doing weigh-ins and pit road responsibilities to administrative things behind the scenes. There's like a wealth of opportunities there. Pretty much anyone is eligible. Even like teenage age, our kids are eligible to be marshals as long as they're accompanied with adult. But generally speaking, it's 18 years of older. You can sign up for an extensive training. It looks like to be an F1 marshal, you've got to have, like, I think, a year's worth of training on it. I know it's, you know, from everything I've ever read about this, it's definitely not a glorified position. You know, you're not paid. You work extremely long hours in either extreme heat or torrential downpour, or, you know, one of the two. You're paying for your own meals and everything else, and you're in some very unfashionable jumpsuits. But you know, if you're a motorsports fan, you know, it's open out there for anyone to do. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten invites from Circuit of the Americas a couple of different times where they said, you know, if you're interested in this, just click this link and you can maybe start the process. So, I mean, it is open. It is one of the few, like, purely democratic things. Like, if you ever wanted to be part of the F1 show, it's a way to do it if that is something that interests you. But you will work for it, I would tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting, like, going back to IndyCar, I think one thing that absolutely IndyCar does better than any other form of racing out there is that they have their own dedicated, you know, safety crew that travels, you know, with the circus from track to track. You know, I don't know if that's something F1 would ever implement or not. Obviously, it would very much change this F1 marshal program that they have. But it is interesting that, you know, IndyCar, you know, a domestic series has dedicated professionals. As this is all they do from race to race is work on safety and stuff like that for the series. Whereas, you know, F1, the grandest motorsports of all, has basically volunteers, you know, with various amounts of training that are handling all the safety duties there. So it's kind of an interesting tidbit.
Right. So next story, George Russell wants his F1 future decided beyond 2021, because we know where that was supposedly supposed to be. That will be with Williams by the summer break. Is this something that's even possible, or is it something that he's going to be able to get, or is he just going to have to wait like the rest of us to figure out what his contract is like?
I think it kind of depends on, I know the rumors have kind of been swirling about Bottas has already been told he's let go, Russell's already gotten the contract, et cetera, et cetera. All I would say is if they haven't given Russell the contract, if they haven't told Bottas he's out yet, I think for morale, after you saw Bottas try to hold Hamilton up in Barcelona, that you probably wait to give out that contract and try to give him some incentive there. So he's not just like, screw this, after they announce the Russell contract. But other than that, I don't really know, kind of, if they've already decided it behind the scenes, then I don't know what the wait's for.
Yeah, it's kind of the way I was thinking about it too, Deanna. Like, you don't want to break Bottas's spirit even more if you're going to be in this dogfight with Red Bull for the Constructors' Championship. They're going to need Bottas to be at his best, which, you know, isn't that great. But I think it would be a bad call by Mercedes to announce Russell early. Press-wise, I think it would be awesome to announce him like right around the British Grand Prix for them. But Bottas-wise, Constructor Championship-wise, probably not the best play.
Yeah, there's also the flip side of that, you know, kind of rumor is that Bottas could potentially already know, and maybe that's why he was trying to hold up Hamilton, because he's, you know, he's literally fighting for a, you know, a job in future years of Formula One, and wants to make sure that everyone knows that he can compete and get his elbows out. So, yeah, but according to Russell, he, Mercedes, and Williams all want this to be done by the summer break. So, I'm sure George wants to. I don't know how much Mercedes and Williams are, but according to him, they all want this to be wrapped up.
Well, I think Williams would want it just to know what it is that they're dealing with. Who are they really negotiating with? If they start negotiating with George and it's not even, you know, he's already with Mercedes, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to waste time or resources.
Yeah. As someone posted on Twitter, I think it was today, you know, it would be such a George Russell thing to happen that, you know, he finally gets a Mercedes seat in 2022 and they're far from an ideal team with the new regs.
We can only hope.
Somehow he's at the back of the grid again. Yeah, that would be such a George thing to happen. But
then Bottas goes to Williams and they nail the 2022.
Exactly. Exactly. That would be so such a George Russell thing. Poor guy. Can't catch a break.
All right. So last story for our news segment, 2021 F1 2021 first gameplay and story mode. Apparently this has been released. 120 FPS on the next gen, and the release date is now set for July the 13th. I'm going to have to rely on everybody else here because I don't really play the game all that much because I would probably suck at it. So somebody help me out.
I think this is a gen topic.
Yeah. I'm probably definitely the biggest gamer here by far. Speaking of,
AKA nerd.
Hey, I'll take it. I drive a Tesla and I'm a game and I work on a computer, so I'll take it. But yeah, so and speaking of this, hopefully somewhere around that launch day. So they're doing a deluxe version, obviously more expensive version on July 13th. The regular version will be July 16th, so 3 days later. But yeah, first gameplay videos came out today. For those of you that don't remember, Codemasters, who has made the F1 game as well as a number of other phenomenal racing games over the years, was recently, you know, last 6 months or whatever it was been now, has been bought out by EA Sports. So, you know, this is technically EA's first launch of this. Obviously, they probably don't have a tremendous amount of impact on this year's release because so much development is going into this year over year. But so it is technically EA's first, you know, rendition of this with Codemasters. But, you know, as far as the gameplay goes, it looks absolutely phenomenal. By far, you know, the best game, which it should be the best game that we've ever seen in a Formula One era. You know, there are scenes that I saw today that were kind of sat side by side with the TV broadcast. And, you know, at first glance, it's absolutely difficult to tell in some of these shots, you know, what's real and what's a game. So that's the ideal thing. Codemasters worked, okay thing I guess we got from this whole, you know, weird calendar that we got last year is that we saw, you know, a tremendous amount of F1 drivers were doing esports events with Codemasters on the F1 game. And through that, they, you know, got a lot of feedback about how realistic it was and all the many, many things that could be improved from even from F1 2020, which was a pretty good game. So they've upped the tire model. The damage model is significantly better. There's a lot more simulation on it for experienced racers who, you know, really want to, you know, get the most realistic package possible. There's also a casual game thing. So anyone who's, you know, not a gamer or a new F1 fan can also jump in there, put on casual mode, and really get a lot of help to kind of get up to speed as well. So it really caters to both sides, or at least supposedly it is on paper. But it's a nice storyline, a lot of tweaks to the UI. So it's looking like it's going to be a phenomenal game. It's been talked about in our Discord for a while now about putting together an Outlap F1, championship on esports. So that might be something we do, for any Xbox racers out there. If you're interested in that, definitely DM us, let us know. It might be something we put together for, you know, some short fun races just to do some bragging and some shit talking back and forth. So it could be a good time.
All right. So I don't think anybody else has any other comments on the game.
All right. Well, I might. I've never played an F1 game in my life. I've tried sim racing twice and it went horribly. I'm thinking I might just give this a shot, record myself, post it on the internet, and make everybody else feel better about themselves.
I like it.
Let me know if you want to see that.
Relapped F1 2021 style. So yes. I think you need to buy a full chair, play seat chair. You need to have, you know, get your wheels set up. The whole works.
Yep. I'll just Jack, go invest.
She's gonna have to
it'll definitely fit in your, you know, closet of an apartment up there.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You're
I'm more worried about them, you know, I'm more worried about them moving it up the stairs and getting it in there than it is even the cost of her buying it.
Do that. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
And then it'll be on a slant because my entire apartment's tilted.
All right, American engineering.
Any building here built before the year 2000 is crooked.
Hey, you know, my last high rise had definitely had a slant. You could put a ball down on the floor and watch it roll around across it.
Yep. That's what you can do here.
Yeah. I blamed it on the wind swinging the building, but that's probably not exactly what was going on. So it always blew or always rolled in the same direction. So, you know.
All right. So on that note, we are going to take a quick break. We will re-rack this. We will get into some fan emails and we'll hop into the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. So come on back.
Support for the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news, everyone. Manscaped has just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and all the time. Manscaped has been trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, so join the movement now for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. We already know that Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your grooming needs, but they didn't stop there. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. The same signature scent that's in all the Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly-like in all the right ways. Think of it as your roommate for the night in the town to keep you fresh and ready for anything. It's calming and inviting. This signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling in for an incredible woodsy and masculine finish. This 50 milliliter spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. It even comes in a beautifully designed glass bottle that makes a statement, and the manly scent sets the mood for any occasion. I've been personally using this product for about a month though, and let me tell you, it smells incredible, and my significant other has certainly been enjoying it as well. Right now, our listeners of the Outlap F1 podcast can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, one word, at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com.
So welcome back to the Outlap F1 podcast. This is our Azerbaijan Grand Prix preview. But before we hop into that all weekend, we have a couple of fan emails that we wanted to get to. My friend Eric asks, can you explain how upgrades work and what they might be? I always hear that the team has installed upgrades, but it's always just so vague. Well, the reason that it's generally very vague is because teams are always really secretive as to what they bring. But an upgrade is basically any sort of change of a part, basically after the car launches. So, I mean, it could be anything from a very subtle wing fairing change to a whole new nose and a whole new front assembly. Generally, teams, usually by the Spanish Grand Prix in the traditional calendar, usually wants to bring a lot of upgrades forward. There's usually then once more right before or right after the summer break is usually when they'll bring another generally large upgrade package, trying to maximize whatever they can in terms of lap time. So you'll see a lot of teams, especially in the first practice, kind of test stuff out. You'll sometimes see that FlowVis paint like you do in testing to correlate what they thought, you know, the lab said would work. Does it really work? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So they got to test them out. And that's kind of what basically upgrades are 101.
Yeah, Eric, if you have an opportunity, at least maybe DVR the free practices on whatever, you know, ESPN is going to be on that particular week. But a lot of times in free practice, they will kind of go through and do a nice side-by-side comparison of, like, prior race to this race of a specific part, if it's something you can actually visualize. And, yeah, to Andy's point, I mean, sometimes it's literally just, like, the addition of some very tiny, you know, little shark fins on the floor or – you know, whereas one part used to be straight, now it's twisted to deflect the wind in a different way. You know, every team, especially, you know, Mercedes, Ferrari, you know, Red Bull, especially on the aero side of things, they're always bringing, you know, there may be a little slot in a nose that wasn't there in the prior race or a little bump, you know, just sometimes it is very, very, very minute changes, but you know, to these teams, at least on their wind tunnel data has told them that, it, you know, it could be enough to, you know, a 10th of a second or something like that. And that's, you know, that's definitely worth the money for an investment. But you also have, you know, there's also only so many, you know, developments you can do now. You've got a cost cap, you've got all kinds of things We really dive into that in our F1 for Beginners episode as well. So definitely check that out for anyone new to the sport and interested in the same questions that Eric is. We really try to explain kind of how you know, development can work and how we've kind of F1 has worked to try to level the playing field when it comes to the development curve and how much teams are spending to try to bring the rich teams and the poor teams, you know, somewhere as close to the middle as possible. So definitely check that out as well.
Any other thoughts on team upgrades?
No, I think you guys nailed it.
All right. So our second question comes from Carlos Von Carlos, and he asks, if you have 100 shares of stock to invest in young F1 drivers, how would you divide your long-term investment between Lando Norris, Esteban Ocon, Charles Leclerc, and George Russell, and or any other young drivers in F1 that haven't fully established themselves? So I will throw this. James, let's start with you. What would you do if you had – I have a funny feeling where this is going to go, but
– 100%.
We'll let you go there.
100 for Leclerc, please. No.
Carlos is begging us to do math, so I need to get a calculator out.
So it looks like we added Yuki and Schumacher to this list. No Mazepin, so I guess I can't put any money on him.
You know, I should have added him. That's my innocent admission. Or, there.
I guess I'll start by saying I'd put zero on Ocon, as I've detailed before. I'm not a big believer in what a lot of people seem to see in him. Yuki, it's a risk play, I think. I feel like you'd buy him pretty low. If you would ask me this 4 races ago, maybe I'd be a little higher on him, but I'd probably put zero on him. I'm obviously going to lean heaviest towards Charles Leclerc. I'd probably go with like 40 of my 100 there. Let's write this down as I go so I don't fuck it up. damn. And then I'll go 25 Lando, 20 for Russell, and what is it? 65, 85, 15 for Mick Schumacher. So 40, Leclerc, I obviously believe in them the most. Lando Norris, 25, because he's pretty damn good himself. George Russell, 20. Haven't seen him in a real car consistently yet. And then Mick Schumacher, I've only seen a handful of races so far out of him, so it's hard for me to put much more in that. I know some people on this podcast think he's the future of Ferrari, but I don't see it yet.
We'll fight that out another day.
Who's next?
Deanna, let's go to you. Let's see what you would do.
Okay. Well, here we go. So I'm going to stick with the original 4. So we have George, Charles, Lando, and Esteban. Never say their first names. That was weird. Okay. So so if I were to just personally rank the drivers, I'm very high for whatever reason on George Russell. Then I would put Leclerc and Norris, but the 3 of those right now I'd put very, very close together. And then Ocon's the one that's much like further below that. And then if you kind of look at the teams that they're going to be at for long term, I think Leclerc will be there in the long term. I would be still highest on Mercedes. The engine isn't changing. I think that they'll be able to do well when the regs change. Ferrari, I think they have the potential in the next 5 years or so to potentially win a championship, but they will not be consistent with it, I don't think, if recent history is to be continue at least. And then McLaren, I think they're closer. They're still not quite on that top level. We'll see what happens in 2022. But that's kind of my rankings of the 3 teams. So to put all that together, and also to kind of take like a basic, how you value a stock at like most basic level, like price to earnings, but like molding it to this situation, I put like the price, the driver contracts versus like their potential future earnings. So I'm still very high on Mercedes. So I think that gives Esteban Ocon a lot of value because I think he's going to get that second seat eventually. Pretty cheap right now. Earnings, he comes in, like he'll be the new Bottas, but probably better. So I think there's some value there, but I also don't want to stake too much. I'm going to go like half of my like little portfolio here is going to be a Mercedes. So I'm going to go 35% George, 15% Ocon, and then split 25 and 25 to Leclerc and Norris. So that was my whole spiel.
Not bad.
That was very informative.
You're welcome.
John, what you got?
All right, let me get the calculator out here. All right, we're just going to wing it here. So I'm going to give, let's see, got a lot of drivers here. Let's do 30 to, let's see, 30 to George. We'll give, let's see, 25 to Schumacher. Because he's going to be a Ferrari driver in the next 5 years.
The Ferrari driver.
Probably. Let's see. I will give 20 to Lando. And who am I missing? I will give, let's see, 20 to Charles and 5 to Ocon. That should be 100% or 100 shares.
All right.
So I guess, long story, I value, I think Schumacher's got some long-term investment. Buy cheap and watch the stocks rise. Deanna's analogy there.
So is Mick Schumacher your GameStop or?
No. I don't think it's
a Dogecoin.
I mean, I give Charles a decent amount. I don't think he's going to be a Ferrari forever, but I have called him a future world champion, James. So don't get mm-hmm. Don't get your feelings hurt over there now. Just maybe not with Ferrari, because nobody won the championship with a Ferrari.
All right. Well, I guess it's a very interesting question. I mean, I'm going to keep it amongst the four drivers in the original question because I think honestly, Yuki and Schumacher. The grade is incomplete because we don't necessarily know, but I like the question amongst these.
Well, that's
four.
Why you got to buy. You got to take the risk, Andy.
Well, that's all right. I would rather, and if I was doing it from a stock portfolio perspective, I'm not investing in them much.
Think of Schumacher
until they show me something.
Think of Schumacher and Yuki as like the latest, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency that's popped up this week that you've never heard about before. think
Elon
about
sperm.
Them as that.
Exactly. That's exactly. A thing that exists.
If Elon Musk,
why do I believe that?
Tomorrow,
where do I buy?
It's going to skyrocket. So, it's all about when you buy it.
Well, all right. I'm going to stick with my original thought on this, which is thanks for the advice. However, I would split it equally actually between Lando and Charles because I think they are almost at the same level. Maybe with the edge to Leclerc a little bit right now in terms of driver talent, Lando coming up very quickly behind that. So I would like almost do like 45 to Leclerc, 35 to Norris. And then the remainder basically then would go to, I would almost split equally again between Russell and Ocon, because I think that's very much an incomplete. We've never seen either of those guys in a really good car yet, other than the one time for Russell, and he did fine. I would assume that if you put Esteban in a Mercedes, he would probably also do fine. The question is, would he be able to do outstanding? That's what we don't know. And that's what we don't really know about Russell. I would give it a little bit of edge to Leclerc right now with Norris, and then split between George and Esteban.
Good question, though. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you wait for, his drivers to be polished, then, you can't afford the shares that they're worth. So, yeah, it's an interesting analogy. Good way to look at it.
Yeah, definitely. So we're just going to go ahead. We will continue on, and we're going to get into the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Our Baku GP track facts are brought to you by Pirelli Motorsport. James, tell us about the Baku City Circuit.
Yeah, so it's the Baku City Circuit, located in, you guessed it, Baku, Azerbaijan. There is 51 total laps because they are 6.003 kilometers long. That is 3.73 miles for us here in the States. Tire selections, we're going C3, C4, and C5. Track characteristics, we're looking at traction 5 out of 5, braking 4 out of 5, lateral load 2 out of 5, tire stress 3 out of 5, asphalt grip 2 out of 5, asphalt abrasion 1 out of 5, and downforce 2 out of 5. Deanna, you can go ahead and talk about some of the records.
All right. So the qualifying lap record was set by Bottas in 2019, and it was a 140.495. And the race lap record was set in 2019 by Leclerc, and it was a 143.009. The most wins at this track, there's been 4, and they've all been by different drivers. So everyone's tied. It's Hamilton, Bottas, Ricciardo, and Rosberg. So most constructors wins. That's 3 to Mercedes and 1 to Red Bull.
So what is this circuit like? It's a mixture of wide open with also tight and twisty. The very long main straight along the Baku shoreline is a slipstreaming mecca, and with cars are able to run three abreast into turn one. The action often looks more like IndyCar, believe it or not, looks a little bit like the 500 than F1, especially heading into that turn one. From there, the track loops around into the city's narrow, winding Ichiri Cher Old Town, dramatically winding past Baku's medieval city walls. As in Monaco, slight mistakes are punished quickly and severely. So while setup-wise, the teams are forced to choose between downforce for the twisty bits and less drag for the straight. So our weather forecast, qualifying, looks like it's going to have sunny skies, high around 80 degrees, winds north at 10 to 25 miles per hour, so a windy circuit. However, only a 1% chance of rain. For race day, we're looking at windy with lots of sunshine, high of 77 degrees Fahrenheit, winds north 20 to 30, so again, quite gusty, could see some wind effect here. However, this looks to be dry, only a 3% chance of rain. Looks like it's going to have a dry weekend on tap. So we're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We'll come on back. We'll drop our checkered flag and we'll get into our predictions. And as I can see, nobody has anything in the document. So we're all playing it really tight to the vest. So come on back. It'll all be revealed. All right. Welcome back to the Outlap F1 podcast. It's Andy and we have everybody here and we are getting into our Azerbaijan Grand Prix predictions. And we have no idea who's going to do what here. So this will be kind of interesting. The first time we've all done this kind of semi-secretive. So our qualifying predictions, we always start with the qualifying pole sitter. The last race here was in 2019. That was Valtteri Bottas with a lap time of 1 minute 40.495. So I'm going to start with James. I'll let him go first. Where are you going to put for your pole sitter?
Well, I just realized I didn't write down a pole sitter or time. Whoops. But I will go Lewis Hamilton on pole and give me a minute on the time.
All right. Fair enough.
Just come up with it on the spot.
He's about the Price is Right. Somebody.
That's how you do it.
Come on.
Well, we usually do them separate usually anyway. Andy never lets me say them.
We do the pole sitter and then the lap time. It's mm-hmm.
okay. Oh, we do? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Since when? Okay.
Since right now.
Don't
make me pull out my seniority card on you.
Okay. All right.
Give us your pole sitter.
Verstappen.
I will go next. I will not always just go be the last one, so I will not be accused of prices rating anybody here. I'm going to go with Lewis Hamilton on pole for this race. And that leaves John. What you got?
I am going with Valtteri, as I think I typed it in the agenda. Valtteri Bottas. Yep.
All right. So fastest lap time. I want to make sure I've got mine on the screen here. I will go first and throw out a 141.078 for pole time.
I'll go next, Andy.
All right.
I got a minute 40.712.
Deanna, you can throw out a lap time.
A minute 40.6 flat.
It's not insanely pricing, right? But
yeah, I thought about it, but I lost some space.
And I'm at a 1.264.
142.264.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I typed. Yeah, it should be
141.
Stick with the
141.
Okay. I can't type. Yeah, yeah.
I like two.
In my ring. Yeah. Well, we're all over the spectrum here. This should be fun. Right. I like it.
We're good.
Drivers and fastest lap. So.
All right. So our race podium. Deanna, I'll give you the honors of picking this one first. Who do you have for race podium?
Who do I have? We'll go for another Verstappen win. It's another different winner here. Then we'll go for Hamilton and then Perez.
John, what you got for race podium?
For race podium, I have Bottas finally getting his second. He should already have two, but had a tire issue a few years ago that ruined that race. So
Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton.
All right, James, what you got for your race podium?
So I I have the same three as Deanna, just in a different order. I think Hamilton's going to dominate the weekend, unfortunately. So I got him in first. I got Verstappen in second and Checo Perez in third. So Red Bull should hang on to the first and the constructors.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a page out of James's book and kind of not go full Homer, but a little Homer. I have Lewis Hamilton taking the win, but I have my boy Lando Norris coming in second. I love that long straight at this track. And Verstappen coming in third.
Nice. Make for a good show if that's the case. So.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good shout for this track.
I mean, Lance Stroll's been on the podium.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly my point. It's like, you get a Stroll podium.
Anything could happen.
This is what suits the characteristics of that car, I think. So, see if we can make it happen.
Back-to-back podiums. The toe down that straightaway can open the doors for any
possibility. Yeah, it can help you. Well, maybe not you.
I don't think Mazepin's getting on the podium, but a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. So, fastest lap and the driver. Last time out, we had Charles Leclerc at a 143.009. So, James, let's start with you. What you got for your fastest lap and the driver?
So, I'm liking Checo Perez for fastest lap. I think he'll be able to get a late pit in. And I got him at a minute 43.816.
So John, next, what you got for fastest lap and driver?
I have a Lewis Hamilton getting a late pit stop there, and I'm going to go with a minute 43.822.
All right, Deanna, you're next. What you got?
I'm going to go for Perez as well, but I'm going to go for a 143.822.
All right. I am going with Max Verstappen for fastest driver, and I have a lap time of 143.965.
All right. Nice. All of the spectrum again.
Yep. See, this is just working. See, we don't know, therefore we can't go on to anybody here. So our bonus picks are different for the first time this season. We are not picking 4, 5, and 20. We are picking position 6, 10, and 15, courtesy of James.
And why is that, Andy?
Well, the Monaco results did not go James's way.
It was looking good there for a minute.
Yeah. Deanna beat somebody.
Finally! Only took 5 races.
And with a whopping 1 point.
So, James, since these are yours, we'll let you go first. Give us your P6, P10, and P15 picks.
All right, so for P6, I got Carlos Sainz finishing fairly well for a Ferrari there. P10, I got Sebastian Vettel just barely sneaking in there to get himself a point. And then 15, I got Kimi Raikkonen.
Oh, my God. I'll go next.
All right. What do you do, John?
I have the exact same.
You cheating bastard.
I'm like, please don't say Raikkonen. Please don't say
Oh, no.
You know what happened last time that we were on the same wavelength? All hell broke loose. So this is not a good sign.
Well, you know, we could have either – the thing with this track is you could have either a ho-hum race or you could have absolute pandemonium and chaos. So so I'll go next. I'm going to have for P6, I'll have Daniel Ricciardo. For P10, I have Lance Stroll. And for P15, I'm going to take Nicholas Latifi.
Is that ahead of George Russell?
Not necessarily. I think there'll be some retirements, and he may be the last one on the road. But, you know.
Latifi was my second choice for 15, so yeah. I think it's a solid one.
So, Deanna, what you got for bonus picks?
For 6th, I'll go Leclerc. In 10th, I'll go Ocon. And 15th, I'll go for Russell.
Is that ahead of Latifi?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So our prop bet for this week, for this race, is because we have the long speed trap, we figured it would be good to bet on said speed trap and see who gets the closest in the race to the total kilometers per hour, not miles per hour for this. So the last time the 2019 race featured Lance Stroll got it with a 331.0 kilometers per hour. So, John, let's start with you for this one. What you got for your prop bet?
I have no idea what to do with this one. So I'm going to go with a 332.4 kilometers per hour.
By who?
Oh, we're doing driver too? Oh, God. Vettel.
We can just point out now that in Barcelona, it was Mazepin. That took.
Yeah.
It's a, maybe a very meaningless stat, but it's, yes. But it's fun to talk about.
Just in case anybody wasn't aware, that the actual speed trap on this particular track is only halfway
down
the, and it's actually not that, it's not that far past the twisty part of the straight, if that makes any sense, if you look at the track map. So it's a really interesting place. Not like at the end where they've got, you know, full on eighth gear,
full DRS. Yeah. And,
So it's, it definitely will shake things up.
Yep. So, Deanna, what you're going to have for your speed trap?
I'm going to go for a 330 flat. And let's just select a random driver on the grid. Geo. No, that, I don't like that. Never mind. I take that back.
I already typed the G, damn it.
Well, I don't like any of the
Vettel. Can you do it with George? Because I already typed
G. Oh, you already said Vettel. Okay, wait.
Stroll. You can do Vettel, too.
We're going Stroll. Stroll. No, I'm going Stroll.
All right. Stroll again.
All right. James, what you got?
I've got 330.6. for my speed, and I've got that by Esteban Ocon or Akan.
John, are you switching me and James up
there? Yeah, I typed it in the wrong place.
You should take that as a compliment, Andy.
So, yeah,
I will. I love to get sage advice. I'm going to go. Deanna actually did manage to pit my lap time exactly because I was going to go 330. I'm not going to do that now. I will go 329.5.
You got to go 0.9.
No, I'm not going to. See, I wouldn't do that.
If you're going to price this right, do it right.
329.5, and I will go with my boy again. I'll be total homer here, Lando Norris.
So am I crazy
to be the only one going faster?
Not necessarily.
It's
I think downforce.
It's a shot in the dark.
Faster straight, but it's also a shit ton of wind, which I didn't know when I wrote these down earlier. I didn't have Andy's very accurate weather prediction, so
it could be a tailwind.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't think about that. Good point.
What we don't have on the lovely map that we put in all the time is what direction is what, because I'd love to know where the winds are coming at.
I'm about to pull out my Windy app and let's see what direction the wind flows through back.
And what direction I went last year. You can do a whole analysis on this.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well. All right. Yeah, you're making me feel a little bit better about my pick, Deanna. I wasn't expecting to be the only one quite so far out, but we'll see.
Well, I just go back to the fact that, you know, 10% less downforce usually means 5 to 10% less lap time, but maybe that math doesn't hold, but I don't know. Anywho. All right. So that's pretty much the end of our rundown tonight. Any final thoughts before we land the plane as so to speak?
You know, I might be crazy. Actually, I probably am, but I have a good feeling about Ferrari here. And I know that sounds weird, but I think it's going to be a good Ferrari-McLaren battle for sure. Because I think McLaren's got the speed, but Ferrari really looks good in the twisty bit. So I think it should be a nice mixed match of two different styles here this weekend. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, if you listen to our guest,
because we had so much fun talking about Monaco that we decided to do it again on the formation lap. Those guys think there might be a little something shady going on with that Ferrari again. So
don't get me started.
St. Louis has conspiracy theories, James, but
I mean, on my list of people that I take advice or listen to, St. Louis creatures would be very, very far down towards the bottom of that list.
For our European folks, Chicago and St. Louis are the best of friends.
I'm very disappointed in you two. You had the Cubs sweeping the Cardinals. You had the Blues getting knocked out in the first round, and you guys just couldn't say one thing.
You know, we were going to talk about St. Louis, the Blues, but then it was quickly reminded that the Blackhawks didn't even make the playoffs. So, you know, we've shooting blanks here, buddy.
I was going to say I didn't really have much of a leg to stand on that way, and
I'm a Sox fan. I don't care what the Cubs are doing. So
it was kind of ironic because then St. Louis went and played the White Sox and lost 2 out of 3, but that was after we recorded.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, till next time. All right. So, as always, it's super fun bringing this stuff to you. Take a look at the practice times. It looks like it's kind of our standard European practice times. However, it looks like the race is about generally going to be an hour earlier. So, 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. on the East Coast. So be sure to check that out and tune in. Tune into our race review, which we will have Sunday night. And we will reveal our great reveal as to what we're going to be doing next week. So keep tuned to that. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at @OutlapF1Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.